And so we're looking at Isaiah tonight, chapter number 43, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindleth upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I have gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." That right there, that verse of Scripture, would just mess up the evolutionists all to pieces. God says, "I have formed them, I have made them." So there you go, atheists and evolutionists. What do you think about that? "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed. There was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cries in their ships, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. We'll stop reading there for the sake of the message tonight. I'm not going to be able to preach the entire chapter, but we'll stop reading there and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us once again to be in your house. I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for, Lord, watching over us through the week and helping us, Lord, to make it back tonight to the house of God. Realize, Lord, we're few in number tonight, but God, you've blessed, allowed us to come together, us few. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up our understanding tonight. I pray that you'd guard these lips of clay and help me, Lord, to say that is necessary, needful for tonight in the service. And I pray, God, you just speak to hearts tonight. Bless and have your willing way in all that's said and done. Be with those, Lord, unable to be with us tonight for sicknesses and other reasons. I pray, God, that you just be with them. And Father, for those that's just been lazy, not coming to the house of God, Lord, would you convict that heart? Help them, Lord, to realize they need to be at the house of God. And Father, that's the place that you have set aside for them to worship. And I pray, God, you'd help us tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. Have you with and way now. All that said, in Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name I pray, amen and amen. As we look at this chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah, there's many truths that we find just in the very beginning. Let me just kind of give you a little introduction, if I may. In this chapter, the Lord comforts His own people in their affliction with many precious promises. The chapter begins with the assurance of divine comfort. Notice verse number 1. The Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Major truths are in this very first verse of the chapter. God, first of all, proclaims himself as being the Creator. He says that he is the Creator. And as we read on down through the chapter, we find that he says that he is the Lord. He's the God. There's no other God. And he is the Savior. So as we've talked about before, that Jehovah God in the Old Testament is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the New Testament. And we understand that because in verse number 11, he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So that helps us understand that meaning that Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. We believe in the Trinity. Amen. So as we look at this, God is proclaiming and saying, first of all, that He is the Creator, and He created not only the heavens and the earth, but all who dwell on the heavens and the earth, and that included Israel. The word that is translated as created has the sense of creating out of nothing. God took absolutely nothing and created out of nothing. Only God can do that. Amen? God did that in the creation week, and we won't get into all that. I don't have time to go through all that this evening, and that's not my message. But then we see that He also reminded Israel that He formed thee. The word translated as form has more the idea of fashioning or molded. In the context, the thought is how that God has formed Israel into a nation. And then God assures them by announcing, "Fear not." This blessed announcement was given to Israel, can be found several times throughout the Bible. God gives the reason why His people were not to fear. God, it was the Creator, and we know that tonight. We understand that. God created all things, the heavens and the earth and the trees and the oceans and everything else. Then God also created man. Amen. And put man on the earth. He created all the animals. God created all those things. But God is telling Israel in the very first verse of this chapter that He was the one that formed them. I made thee. And He lets them know right off the start, I, the Lord, have done this. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And so as we look at this, we see some things here that he tells the reasons why God's people are not to fear. Look with me, if you would. He lists three reasons. To begin with, He says, I have redeemed thee. And the context, of course, clearly is of Israel. He's redeemed Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. He clearly has redeemed them. But God, listen, He says here, He redeemed them from the bondage of Egypt. However, there can be no question at all that Christ has redeemed us of the New Testament church as well. In the 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18 and 19, He has redeemed us by His own blood. Amen. And so the promise to Israel is also the promise to the New Testament church. Amen. That He has redeemed us, and thank God that He has. We have a Redeemer. Amen. His name's Jesus Christ. How did He redeem us from our sins? He did that by His own blood. So He's just a reminder here of the children of Israel, I've redeemed thee. And we know that He's talking to them. He redeemed them from the Egyptian bondage. And we can also apply that to the church, that Christ has redeemed us by His own blood. Then Jehovah God notes also, secondly, I have called thee by thy name. What a thought that is, amen, that God Himself called by our name. He knows our name. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, He Knows My Name. Y'all ever heard that song before? There's a little 5-year-old little boy that played that thing on the piano and sung it on YouTube, and it went viral and everybody got a hold of it. I mean, absolutely wonderful talent. But he sung that song, He Knows My Name. And a lot of churches adopted that song, began to sing it. A lot of youth groups began to sing it. But I'm glad, thank God, that He knows my name. Amen. He even tells Israel here, He's talking to, O Israel, O Jacob, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. He knows exactly who we are. What a thought that is, that the God of the universe knows our name. As I sung that song tonight, I know my name is there. Now, I know that my name is there because I know that I'm saved, but I know that God knows who I am. Amen. I'm not a number to Him, I'm a name. To the society, we're numbers. To the DMV, we're just a number. Amen? To different aspects of society, we're just a number, but God knows us by our name. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Job that He called Job by his name. Amen? And so He knows us by our name, and that's pretty simple there. I know that's not real deep stuff, but what a wonderful thought it is that the God of the universe knows my name. Amen? The President of the United States don't know who I am. The Governor of North Carolina don't know who I am. Matter of fact, the police chief in Randolph don't know who I am. All the leaderships in our communities and in our countries don't know who we are, but the God of the universe knows who we are. Whoop! That's shouting ground, amen. He knows who we are. He knows our name. Then he says, not only have I called thee, but also he says, has called us to himself. Thou art mine. That's the great assurance that we have. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me. And then we see that thou art mine here in this first verse of chapter 43. For fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. I know who you are, and you belong to me. Thou art mine. You're mine. You belong to me. We belong to him. He has redeemed us to himself. Though the rebellious individual might buck the thought of being owned by another, the context here of this verse of Scripture is fear not the darkness of what lies ahead because we belong to him. Fear not for what lies in the future because we belong to him. Amen. He knows us. We are his and we belong to him. In this first part of this chapter, we see three fear nots. First of all, we see the fear not of redemption. The fear not of redemption. Redemption works in the past. I have created thee. Verse number one. I have redeemed thee. That's redemption. We see the creator. Then we see redemption. And I have called thee by name. We see the calling. So there's the fear nots of redemption. I have loved thee. You notice with me in verse number four. He says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I'm telling that we're talking about the God of the universe says, I love you. Can we get a hold of that? Our little finite minds can't comprehend that. The God of the universe knows my name when nobody else that in the world knows my name, but God knows my name, and God loves me. He says, he even wrote it down and says, I love you. Well, that's enough right there to make us take a break shout a while. Amen. I have called thee by thy name. Notice with me if you would. I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself. I want you to grasp verse number one. If you don't grasp verse number one, you'll never understand verse number two. Now that's just how deep this is. If you get a hold of verse number one, that the God of the universe has created us, he's formed us out of the belly before we was ever formed in the belly, he knew us. Amen. He created us. He made us. He knows us by our name. And he loves us. You got that? Now get a hold of that. Think on that thought for, I'm just going to say Selah right there. Think on that thought for just a minute. He knows us. He's created us. He's fashioned us. He's molded us into who we are. And before he tells us all that, before he says he's redeemed us, and before he tells us that he loves us and that he's called us and that we are his, before he ever says all that, he says, fear not. Now he's talking to Israel, and understand with him as we read Isaiah, he's talking to Israel, but Israel in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, is a picture of the New Testament church. Y'all with me? So as we look at this, he's talking to Israel, but yet it's also good for the New Testament church. All right? Fear not. Why not? Why should I not fear? Because I love you. I have redeemed thee. I have shed my own blood for thee. I gave my own son for thee. I have called thee to myself. I've redeemed thee, and you are mine. Then verse number two. We got verse number one out of the way. We know who he is. We know how he feels about us. And he tells us to fear not. Don't fear. You're mine. I made you. And I'm your God. I'm the only God. There's no other God beside me. I'm the only God. Don't you worry about all the rest of them that claim to be God. There's no God. I am the Lord, thy God. Then you come to verse number two. Watch this real close. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When thou passest through the waters. As we look at the first part of this verse of Scripture, passage of Scripture, we find redemption, the past promises, the past work of redemption. And we see that he says, fear not, for I am with thee. We see the present promises in verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. In the past, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. In the present, I will be with thee. In verse number 2. And as we understand that he is speaking to his people, his children, let me say tonight, redemption does not exempt God's people from troubles. Because you're redeemed tonight by the blood of the Lamb, that does not exempt you or I from troubles. Troubles are going to come. They're going to happen. All right? Look with me, if you would, in verse 2. When is the very first word. Not if, not maybe, but it says when. When the waters come. When thou passest through the waters. That word waters carries with it, it describes the kind of trial that chills. It takes away our joy. It sweeps us off our feet and carries us downstream until we feel like we have lost control. I don't know if you've ever felt like that or not. Listen, maybe you never get in a place in your life where you feel that way, but I've been there. I've been to the place in my life where I felt I had absolutely no control, and the only person I could depend on was the Lord. It was only Him that could get us through. And here the Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, those times of being cold and those times where your joy has been stolen away from you. It's kind of like when you go whitewater rafting. I don't know if you've ever done whitewater rafting or not. But if you ain't very careful, that water will sweep you off your feet. It'll take you down. There's places in the rivers where you can't cross by foot. You have to go to a different area because in some areas it is so swift, it'll take you down. As you go to the coast and you go out to the ocean and you want to step out, there's places where there's reefs or drifts or whatever you want to call them out there in the ocean where the water is so strong that it would literally pull you under and sweep you off your feet. That's kind of the idea that He's given us here. When thou passest through the waters, when thou goes through the troubles, there's no question that God took Israel through the Red Sea and across the Jordan River. We understand that. Here the thought, though, it seems to be more of a metaphor to the crisis of life. Whether it was Israel then or the New Testament church now, God promised that when His people go through the deep waters in life, that He will be there with them. Boy, if that ain't enough to make a Presbyterian shout, they ain't never been anything that'll make anybody shout. Amen? God says, fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee in the past. I've redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. I love thee. Thou art mine. When thou goest or passest through the waters, I'll be there with you. When troubles come, when the heartaches come, God says, I'll be there with you. Now, what's this? The waters describe the kind of a trial that chills, that steals our joy, takes it away from us. Water speaks of circumstances that could cause us danger. Historically, we know that here in this passage of Scripture, He's referring to the Red Sea. But listen, He says to the New Testament church, I understand that there's going to be circumstances that can cause danger in your life, and I will be there with you. If you're not going through a trial tonight, to praise the Lord. Amen. We ought to praise Him. We ought to shout. We ought to shout the victory. Amen. If we're not going through a trial tonight. But everybody's going to have troubles in their life. This is a definite in the life of a born-again child of God that your life is not going to be easy. If someone accepts Christ tonight as the Lord and Savior of their life, there's nowhere in the Scriptures that says life will be easy. There's nowhere in the Bible tonight that says you're not going to face some troubles and trials in your life. You're going to go through some things. Here again, the Bible doesn't say if thou passest through the waters, but it says when thou passest through the waters. You're going to suffer some things. You're going to go through some things. And that's just the way God meant for it to be. If you don't ever go through anything, you'll never be anything for God. They told me that whenever I started on the mission field and started in the mission work. They told me that whenever I surrendered to the call to preach and said, son, I'm just going to tell you, if you never go through anything for God, you'll never be anything for God. Let me say to us all tonight, that's exactly right. Amen. If you never go through anything for God, if you never suffer for God and never go through anything for God, you'll never be anything for God. You've got to suffer. Amen. You've got to go through these things. Water describes the kinds of trials that chills. It describes the diversity of experience that each child of God must face. When thou passest through indicates that this is normal, most of the time taken for granted, but it's normal for the child of God. All right, is everybody with me? When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through those troubles of life, I'll be with you. If you're not going through a trial tonight, as I said, you need to praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice. Hallelujah. And Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. If you're not going through a trial, if you're not facing any troubles. But listen, if you're not going through one, you can mark her down. There's one a coming. Amen. There's a one a coming. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. Through my trial, I don't fear anything because I know the Lord's with me. But listen, on the other side of the mountain, God on the mountain. Miss Jane sings that song a lot, and I like that song. Amen. God on the mountain, because He is God on the mountain. And a lot of people find themselves on the mountaintop, and everything is good and everything is great. They begin to slack off on their praying, slack off on their reading their Bible, slack off on spending time with God. And then they find themselves going through the troubles or through the waters that God says, and they forget that He promised that He would be there with them. And they try to keep themselves afloat. You ever seen a drowning man? Tries to keep himself afloat. God says, when you're going through the waters, fear not, I'll be there with you. So when the waters begin to get up over our head, and David said, I am overwhelmed. In the book of Psalms, David said, hey, listen, I can't take much more. In other words, David was saying, I'm in over my head. The waters are beginning to come over my head. God says, don't you worry. I'm right there with you. I've got you by the hand. You're not going to drown. You get a hold of a drowning man and try to pull him out of the water, and he's fighting for dear life. He realizes that somebody's got a hold of him. And then you say to him, or they say to him, hey, listen, I've got you, man. It's okay. I got you. That's what God said. I'm about to have a Baptist fit here in a second. That's what God says here in His Word. When you pass through the troubles, you go through those trials of life, don't get your focus on the tempest winds as Peter did. Don't get your focus on the storm. You keep your focus on me because I've got you. Hang in there. It's going to be all right. I've got you. There's no need to worry. Glory. That don't help y'all, it's helping me. I'll just put it that way. Amen. It helps me a lot. And I know this, but it's good to be reminded. Amen. There's days that we face when it seems like everything is against us. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Watch this now, I got to go on. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Although those troubles may seem like it's going to take you down. And whenever you come out of one trial, and it seems like there's another trial right on the heels of that one. And some people's like that. Out of one trial, right into another one. Out of one trial, right into another one. And they just seem like they go through stuff all the time. I'm not saying that they're not listening to God. But I am saying that God says, fear not when you go through those troubles and trials. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. Quit trying to do things on your own. Quit trying to take matters into our own hands and let God take care of it. Amen. Give it to Him because He's in control and He's got this. He knows your name, so He knows what you're going through. Amen. Then He goes on to say, I got to move on. That's hard to do. That's good stuff. He goes on to say in verse number 2, when thou walkest through the fire. Wait a minute, we done been through the waters. That was trials and troubles. That was chilly waters, or like the waters speak of a chill that takes away from us and takes away our joy. It speaks of circumstances that could dangerous. Now you're talking about fire. Fire describes afflictions, tormenting trials that continually aggravate the child of God. Fire speaks of that which arises from persecution. You go through trials, the fiery trials of persecution because who you are. They make fun of you. They talk about you. They ridicule you. Maybe even they fire you because of your stand on the truth. Amen? This stand against this wicked crowd of homosexuality, transgenderism. Amen? You stand against that. Maybe they fire you from your job. That's a fiery trial. What did he say? When thou, because you're going to, not if, but when thou goest, what's this? When thou walkest through the fire, those trials of persecution, God promised He would protect His people from times of fiery judgment. We have an example of that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the furnace they did go. And the fourth man did appear, like the Son of God. What happened to those men when they come out of the furnace? Not even a smell of smoke on them. But when the men opened the doors to throw them in the fiery furnace, they died from the heat, not the flame, but just the heat off that furnace. But God's people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the furnace they did go, and they came out, and the only thing that was burnt off of them was the ropes that bound them up. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's my God. Amen. That's a beautiful picture, if you would, of going through the fiery judgment and the fiery trials of persecution. And God says, when you go through that, whoop, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Boy, that's good stuff. God promises that to this day. God will take care of His people. I don't know how many times I can say that. I don't know how to express that. Because so many people neglect to read the Bible and understand the Word of God. And they ask you, and in times of circumstances, just like today when this gentleman had passed away, they asked you questions like, why does those things happen? Because God created us. And He can take us out of here anytime He wants to. Amen. He created us. He can do what He wants to. He's God. And they ask so many different questions, but they neglect to understand the precious Word of God, that God says, I've made you, I've redeemed you, I love you, you belong to me, and I hold you close. Just listen to what I'm telling you. When you go through those troubles, when you go through the persecutions and the waters of trials of life, don't you worry, because I've got you. You won't even smell like smoke. When you go through, you won't get burned. I can't help but think about so many times when people go against the people of God and they try to stand against the church. You better be careful with that. That's God's people. People often say, well, you better be careful messing with Israel. No, you better be careful messing with the New Testament church. That's still God's people. Now, I'm not throwing off on Israel. Israel is God's chosen nation. But the New Testament church, which is on this earth until God calls us home, is still God's chosen people. God's people. Amen. And you better not mess with them. See, He said they won't get burned. I got to move on. We see these, it talks about the description of water. We see the fire describes afflictions. And then He also says in verse number 2, He talks about it right after the waters. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers. The word rivers describes great and terrible trials that bring great damage and are seemingly uncrossable. And there's no way through those trials. There's some trials that come when you become convinced that your career as a child of God is finished and you're a complete failure. You'll never be anything for God. Well, that's a trial. That's a great trial. I don't know if you've ever been to that place or not. I've been there where I felt like God was going to set me on a shelf as a preacher. and didn't feel like I was ever going to be anything for God, didn't think God's ever going to let me do anything, that's a terrible feeling. Terrible place to be. That's great affliction. You feel inside your soul you're literally a failure. You're a complete failure. Never going to be anything for God. Those are great waters. As a child of God, sometimes we sin and we fail and we make mistakes and we go through trials and we fail those temptations and we find ourselves in great waters and great trials. God says, I'm with you. I'm right there. I love you. Psalms 124, verse 2 through 5, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters have overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Understand, historically through the Scriptures, He's speaking of the Jordan River. But He's also helping us to understand the trials of the child of God when it seems like it's overbearing those great rivers. Verse number 2, the Bible says, waters and rivers. That's plural. That's more than one. It's going to happen more than one time. There's going to be trials and it's going to be great trials. There's going to be more than one. The rivers and the waters. These rivers and waters remind us of Job. He lost his servants and his sheep and his shepherds and his family and his health and everything, his friends. He lost it all. Soldier does not put down his gun after one shot or one battle. But victory usually means many shots, many battles. Listen to this. I don't know who said this, but I got it written down. This is good stuff. So listen. God has had one son without sin, but He has never had one child without suffering. He had one son without sin, but He's never had one child without suffering. We have to go through things in order to be a child of God and be what God wants us to be. If you don't go through the troubles and go through the waters, you'll never learn to lean on Him. You'll never learn to truly trust Him. We talk about trusting Him by faith and salvation, but after salvation, it goes further than that. Learning to trust Him in every day, every situation, in every circumstance, God said, I will be there with you. Fear not. Preacher, you just don't know. I might lose my house. I've been there. You know what my Bible said? Fear not. Preacher, you just don't understand the financial situation. I've been there. I've been to the place where I didn't know where our next meal was coming from. And that's not a fun place. That's great waters. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. And somebody would call me on the phone and say, Preacher, you got something to eat? Well, you know, we got a few things. We're all right. Well, I'm going to bring you some groceries. That's my God. Amen. Helping us through the waters. And the great waters. There's been many times in my life like that, and I don't want to get into all those details of that tonight. I don't want to give anybody any indication that you're going to lose everything you got. I'm not saying that. But God's telling us whenever those circumstances, whatever they may be, if it's a sickness that comes along, God says, fear not, I'm with you. I've got you. Why in the world do we worry and have ulcers and depressed? And I know people suffer depression, but I struggle with that. The greatest medicine that you have for depression is the Word of God. What God say? Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Well, God says, fear not. I'm with thee. I'm the only God. There's no other. There's none can do what I have done or what I'm going to do. And I'm with you. The rivers describe the great, terrible trials. The flames describes the afflictions, the persecutions that arise in trials. The water describes the chills of the water that causes us to lose our joy and makes us feel like we're losing control. The flame describes a sharp, hurting trial that doesn't last long. Sometimes the flame is not physical, it's spiritual. We understand tonight as we look through these two verses of Scripture, and I didn't get very far at all. We understand that God loves His children. When, not if, thou passest through the waters. It's taken for granted that waters are coming. God didn't say wait until the waters passed. Is everybody listening? God didn't say wait till the rivers dry up. God didn't say wait till the fire dies down. I'll go to church whenever things get settled down, you'll never go. I'll do such and such whenever such and such happens, it'll never happen. God didn't say wait till the waters pass. He didn't say wait till the rivers dry up, wait till the fire dies down, or wait till the flame quits burning. He did not say that. Our calling from the Lord is to go. You keep going. I'll take care of you. I'll handle it. You just keep going and you trust me. If the rivers would finally dry up as soon as we got across, there'd be a fire and a flame to contend with. Y'all with me? If you're waiting till things get better, you'll never go because they're not going to get better. And we should be going and facing our troubles with courage that God's going to see us through. Don't sit down on the sideline and wait for the river to dry up. Don't sit down and wait for the fire to stop burning or the flame to quit putting out heat. Don't sit down and quit on God. Don't get depressed and say, I can't. God says you can. For with Christ, what does the Bible say? Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? For with Christ, I can do all things. Amen. Ain't that good stuff? I'm telling you, that's good. I ain't got just two verses read, and we're having a wonderful time. It's a helping the preacher if it don't help nobody else. Amen. Redemption does not exempt God's people from trouble. Because we're saved tonight, because we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not exempt us from trouble. Redemption in the present. Listen, redemption in the present. Y'all with me? It will not allow trouble to destroy God's people. Troubles will come. They won't destroy you. Trouble cannot separate the people of God. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Troubles cannot separate us from God. Are y'all with me? No matter what comes our way, it cannot separate me from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Troubles cannot separate us from God. Trouble cannot stop the people of God. When thou passest through the waters, not when you come up to it, but whenever you go through it. When you come to a trial and a trouble in life and a circumstance of life, when you come to it and you face it head on and you think, where's God? God says when you go through it. When the children of Israel came up to the brink of the water in Joshua chapter number 3, God didn't begin to work a miracle and part the sea for them to cross on dry ground until they started going down into the water. The priest had to step into the water. When thou goest through the waters. Can't stop God's people. This would indicate that we go through our troubles and we come out on the other side. The devil would have you believe that God's people drown and burn up, but God says you're going through. Psalms 23 verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no stops, no delays, no layovers, but I go through. Romans 8:29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We are going through according to God's plan and his timetable. Some trials may be short, some may be a little longer. God says you'll make it through. Troubles can't separate us from God. Troubles can't stop us from being the people of God, can't stop the people of God, and trouble should not scare the people of God. This is where most Christians lose out. This is where most of them get excited, throw up their hands and quit. And I've seen it happen so many times. Preacher, I just can't. Notice verse number 2. When thou walkest through the fire. Oh, this is good stuff. When thou walkest through the fire. When you see somebody run, they're in a hurry. You come in my back door of my house and I don't know you're there and you scare me, you're liable to see me run. Have this guy that we work with, Marcus, heavyset guy. Y'all know some of you may do. He's been here a few times. Marcus says, if you ever see me running, you better check, make sure that what's behind me, because something's chasing me. Because he don't ever run. People run when they get scared. But the Bible says, when thou walkest through the fire. In other words, I'm not afraid. I'm not trying to run through the fire to get out of it real quickly. I'm walking through the fire. Because I have that deep settled peace that my God's got this. He's not left me. He's right there with me. And I'm going through this trial. Though it may not be pleasant, I'm not saying trials are pleasant, but He uses the terminology, when thou walkest through. Walking is a pace to go when you're not in a hurry. When you're not afraid, when you're not worried and not alarmed. Walking through the fire means I believe that God will not let me burn. Isaiah 29:16, he that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 40:31, wait. Walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord. What's the Bible say in Isaiah 40:31, we talked about that. Whenever it was there, wait upon the Lord. He shall what? Renew thy strength. You're going through some trouble, some circumstance, some trial of life. Wait on Him. He'll carry you through, and He's going to strengthen you. When you come out on the other side, you're going to be stronger because you're going to see the hand of God in the trial that you just came through. Does that help you? Boy, it sure does help me. When thou walkest through. When you pass us through, you're going to go through. Then He says, when you walk us through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Verse 3 and 4, I am the Lord thy God, Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Here He's telling Israel that He sacrificed a lot. I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to get into that. But He sacrificed the Egyptians instead of the Israelites. Let me just run that. I'm just going to go there. Okay. Without a question, the primary attribute of God is holiness. He is infinitely pure and free from sin. He is our Savior. That is true for Israel. That's true for the New Testament church. It is He who has saved us from our sins. This text, of course, is directed to Israel, but God reminds the New Testament church that He has sacrificed the Egyptians instead of the Israelites. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt and saved the firstborn of Israel. Other nations were sacrificed in battle for the preservation of Israel. Since thou wast precious in my sight, verse 4, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God's people are precious in His sight. Because He's redeemed us, we have become honorable before Him. And then is the precious promise, I have loved thee. He loves us. What an encouragement. What a shouting time we ought to have. The ultimate fulfillment for the New Testament church and for Israel, of course, is at the day of the Lord whenever we meet Christ. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Fear not. Verse 5 through 7, I'm not going to read all of it. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. He's speaking of Israel. He's going to bring them all together. But He speaks to the church and to Israel and the New Testament church, fear thou not. Fear thou not. I'm going to stop there. I've got so much more I could say through the rest of that text. But we'll stop there tonight. Is that not good stuff? I'm telling you what's the truth. It helps this preacher. Listen, I hope it is helping you tonight. whatever trial, whatever circumstance of life that you're facing, whether it's the water trials, or whether it's the great rivers, or something major that you're going through. God gave this to me tonight for this group of people. Somebody here is going through a great river of trials. If you're not right now, you're fixing to. It may be you, may be me, I don't know. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through the troubles. We're going to have to go through those waters. But when it comes and the fiery trials come and you walk through it, because you know He's got you. He's got you by the hand. He's not going to let you burn. He's not going to let you drown. Well, that's good stuff. Amen. Thank God that I know that I know that I know that I know that my name is in the book of life, has not been blotted out, and my Father, God Jehovah, Jesus Christ the Lord, loves me, knows my name and knows everything I'm going through, and promised me those precious promises of the precious Word of God. I'll not leave thee. Fear not. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the